Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Tonight, Jeff is going to come and take us into the Word as we continue in the Refuge School of Prayers. So welcome Jeff as he comes to open the Word tonight.
Thank you. If you are just joining us maybe for the first time tonight, we are in a series talking about prayer, and I totally believe, absolutely with all my heart, that if you make and set aside time for Him, He will, as Bill just read, come and meet you where you're at. And so hopefully you're of that same mindset, but by the end of tonight, my hope is that I can convince you that that is the truth. That God desires relationship with you, that He wants to spend time with you. And oftentimes, it's our hearts, it's our own desires that get in the way of that special and unique time. And so, as we travel through this series, we've been doing it on Sundays and Wednesdays, Pastor Bill has been talking about devoting ourselves to prayer. And I think it's so valuable for us as men and women of God that we do that we set aside that time. And so, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about that. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we will go into His Word. Lord, I pray tonight that You would, as we're sitting here, convince us of this truth, that You want to meet with us, that You want to speak with us, that You want to guide us and direct us. And Lord, oftentimes it is our own schedules, it's our own timing that gets in the way of that meeting. And so Lord, tonight, as we sit, as we listen, Lord, prayerfully by Your Spirit, that You would speak to us and direct us and move us into that place that You want us to be with You. Amen. I will say this, on a fairly regular basis, I leave our house in the mornings, and as I'm traveling down our street, I make a left, and then I make a right, and as I'm exiting our neighborhood, there's a common thought that runs through my head. I forgot my wallet. On a fairly regular basis, this happens. And so then the question is, do I go back and get it, or do I just move on throughout the day and let Pastor Chris pay for my lunch, or what do I do? And so I usually come back. I usually get my wallet. And you know what the first thing that's so funny as I was thinking about this? First thing I do when I walk through the doors, if my wife is home, I say, honey, have you seen my wallet? As if somehow she knows where my wallet is, or she's the keeper of all wallets, or she has some GPS system on my wallet, like she knows where it is. And then come to think of it further on that, I do that with most everything. Honey, do you know where that other shoe is? Honey, do you know where that backpack is? Honey, do you know where that bowl is? Do you know where that? And she's, you know, what is she? Like the keeper of all things that I'm missing? And so oftentimes that happens because why? I forget. I forget a lot of things. And here's what I know to be true. So do you. You guys forget a lot of things. In fact, the study was done, ironically, by the Post-it company. You know the company that makes the little Post-it notes? They did a study, right, of how often somebody would forget something. And they came to the understanding that you and I, we forget about four things a day, whether it's an event or it's a phone call back to someone or it's an occurrence that we were supposed to remember. We actually forget about four things per day. So at the top of that list, funny enough, is wallets. Like people forget their wallets on a fairly regular basis. Here's what else they forget. Why they went into the room in the first place. Why did they come in here? Why did they go to the store? Where do they park? The name of the person, even just after they met them, oftentimes is forgotten. To pay the bill, to water the plants, forgetting that you're almost out of gas and you were supposed to have stopped someplace. I can't remember where that was. Oh, to get gas. The pot on the stove or in the oven. Birthdays and anniversaries. To call or to text that person back. How about this one? When you sign up for like a new social media or get a new app, you have to remember your password. How many of you guys, oh man, that is the bane of our existence now. I could have sworn it was that one. It was that, oh no, it's not that one. It's that one I use for that. And so many things we have to remember. How about this one? You get online because you're going to research something. You're going to look something up and Facebook jumps on you here and you jump over here and you're like, oh, why did I get online in the first place? We forget why we even just a split second earlier decided that we were going to get online to research this thing, and social, Facebook, or Instagram, whatever, jumps in our way and redirects us off our path. But here's the truth of the matter. We live busy lives, right? Some of you would probably say four things. That's light, Jeff. Four things is light. I forget way more than four things a day because we live busy, hectic lives, filled lives on this fast pace that we have to try to keep track of. We use calendars, Google Calendar. Thank you, Lord, for Google Calendar, right? Takes my wife's calendar and my calendar and my work calendar, puts it all together and has little reminders that pop up that tell me, hey, don't forget this. Hey, don't forget this. But we need that. We almost have to have it. We have to have our to-do list so we don't forget what it is that we were doing. What do I need to do next? Oh, to-do list. Okay, I know. We live these crazy lives. I think if we all just stop to think about it for a moment, we're living a very fast-paced lives. And I would just say, Christians, you're no different. Christians are no different. We have the same fast-paced lives that the world is living out. And yet you and I are called to stop, to listen, to recognize this God that we love so much. But you live a fast-paced life. I live a fast-paced life. It's quick. It's always moving. I always have something to do. There's always something next. And yet you and I as Christians are called to take a moment, to set a date, to be quiet before the living God. We have a little extra challenge set before us. And oftentimes I would say, we forget that date. We forget that appointment. We forget to be quiet. Maybe for a day, maybe for a week, maybe for it's been a month. And we just keep moving on with life and life keeps coming at us and our calendars don't get any less filled. And we keep telling ourselves, we'll do it. But we're just so busy as we rush through life. We forget to get quiet before Him. I would say this starts right when we wake up, that we hurry. I hurry. I get up. I get my breakfast ready. I get showered. I get ready to go. I hang out with my kids for a little bit. I get out the door as fast as I can so I can get to work. I want to maximize my sleep and my efficiency. And oftentimes I forget to just stop and recognize the Lord in my life, to recognize what He would have for me today. And tonight, I want you to see this. It's not no big deal. It actually is quite a big deal. That if you and I call ourselves followers of the living God, then we need to stop and be quiet before Him. We need to spend time with Him. And in fact, I think there's even bigger danger at work here if we decide that this is not for us. Or I've tried that before. Or is it really that important, Jeff? Is it really? I mean, I've gotten this far, right? I'm here at church on a Wednesday night, and my quiet time isn't great, so do I really need it? Do I really need to spend time with Him? And I would just say yes, and here's why. I think there's a danger in forgetting about God in our day-to-day lives if we don't spend time with Him. Let me say that again. I think there is actually a real danger that you and I will face in forgetting about God if we don't make the decision to spend time with Him, to get quiet before Him. We'll forget about Him in various areas of our lives, and some people will forget about Him altogether if we do not section out a time in our lives to spend with Him. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 8 tonight. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles off to the left and to the right, and there's Bibles in the back. They're right by our fire extinguishers. You can grab a Bible if you need to do that. But we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as you're turning there, let me kind of set up the context for you here. Israel, right? Israel, at one point in their history, they're rescued out of slavery from Egypt. God leads them to the promised land, the place that He took him out of Egypt, so that they could experience this amazing blessing by the living God who rescued them out of slavery. And He says, get ready to enter in. We looked at this a couple weeks back. They're afraid to enter in because the people are big and the cities are fortified, it says in the Bible, to heaven. In other words, they're super strong. There's no way we could do it on our own accord, our own strength. And God says, I'll take care of it for you. Just go. It's all yours. The land is yours. The place that I'm leading you is yours. And we know, as we look at that passage, it says they got so scared that they decided, hey, you know what? We can't do it. God must hate us because he's leading us into death and our kids into death and our family into death. We're surely going to die in this promised land, right? And he says, let's pick a leader and let's go back to Egypt, back into slavery again, which is kind of a head scratcher to me, but it really did happen that you would think God took you out. He did all these amazing things and now you're standing at the foot of his promise and you're ready to turn back and no longer follow him any longer. So what does God do? God says to them, listen, because of this, because of the fact that you turn your back on me, I'm not going to quit on you, but you need to learn some lessons, some hard lessons. And so he sends them back out into the desert for 40 years. For 40 years, they live in the desert until that generation had passed away. And now it's the kids that were probably with their parents at the promised land. And now they've come back and God said, it's time for you to enter in now. You were 40 years in the desert and now it's time. You're again back in the promised land again and I'm ready to move you in. And so Moses in Deuteronomy is writing to the people saying, this is what I want you to remember when you go in. Moses says, I can't go in with you. I can't go in with you. I would want to go in with you, but I can't. So here's what I want you to remember. Remember this. Right? And so when we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's a recount. He's telling the people, listen, don't be like your forefathers. Don't be like your dad or your grandpa who said, I can't do it. I can't do it. This time go in. You've been trained for 40 years in the desert. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to look at this. If we don't pray, if we don't spend time with God, if we're not daily before him, we run the chance. We run the risk of forgetting about him altogether. And it is often the difficult time in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1-2. It is often this difficult time, it's the desert time that teaches us to seek after the Lord. It's oftentimes, and I know some of you may be there tonight, it's oftentimes these 40 years in the desert, hopefully it hasn't been 40 years for you, but if it has, it's oftentimes in the desert times, in the difficult times, in the dry times, that we learn that God teaches us to seek after him. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. And this is what Moses writes, the Lord speaking. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Listen to what he says in verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. To what? To humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. In other words, what he's saying there is those 40 years were essential because God wants the people that he's leading into the promised land to trust him, to love him, to come before him, to worship him, to honor him. And so these, when they got there the first time, they weren't ready. We can't trust you, God. They're too big and too mighty. We'll never take control. And God says, 40 years, I need to test your heart. I need to see if you're going to be willing to follow me and ready to follow me through all those battles that are ahead in life. I need to know that you are going to seek me and find me. 40 years, they're in the desert and they're being tested. And Moses is saying, don't forget, because God has all this 40 years, he's been humbling you and breaking you down. And he's been seeing, will they seek me? Will they look after me? And so this is what he does. He says, I'm going to give them two things that's going to help them remember that I am here on a daily basis for them. I'm going to give them two things that they're going to have to come to me and seek after me for. Look at what he says here in verse 3. Two things that daily I will teach them that they need me on a continual basis. Look at verse 3. He says this, he humbled you, that's Moses talking to the people of Israel, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. To what? To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes through the mouth of the Lord. What is he doing there? He's saying to them, listen, you have a need, and not just a need that happens once a week or every other day, but a need that happens every single day to the point where you will have to come to me and seek me, how often? Daily. And you will learn that it's not actually the bread that feeds you. That'll feed you naturally, your physical body. But spiritually, you will not just live on that bread alone. You will live on my word alone, my word which produces that bread on a regular basis. And you will learn that you are dependent upon me. 40 years, you will learn this lesson, that when we enter that promised land, when you enter that rest, when you enter that time of blessing, that you will know, because you've learned it for 40 years, that you must trust in me daily. I will teach you that lesson. What do we know about Jesus? He later on quotes this, right? As he's in the desert. How long is he in the desert? 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And Satan comes to him, and Jesus was probably hungry, I imagine, because he was of flesh as well. He was human. And the devil says to him, listen, just make bread, just make bread. And what does he say? Man doesn't live on bread alone, but man lives on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Teaching him, listen, learning, hey, I got to trust in God daily. Jesus knew that lesson. We know that from his ministry, that he would steal away and just be with the Father. He would spend time with the Father, just getting quiet before the Father, making his requests known to the Father on a routine, daily basis. God takes him into the desert so they would learn lesson number one. Hey, you have to trust in me daily. Lesson number two, look what he says. God teaches them that they are to rely on him for the daily bread. Lesson number two, God then teaches them daily reliance and obedience by not allowing, listen, their shoes to wear out or their feet to swell. What? It's kind of weird, right? But how important are feet in the desert when you're walking for 40 years? Pretty important. Look at verse 4. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. That's miraculous. 40 years. Imagine wearing the same thing for 40 years. Honey, can I get another pair of clothing, please? It's in the desert. We can't. Look at verse 5. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. That's what God was after. I want your heart and I will discipline you in order for me to get it, so you will recognize me. In getting where they needed to be, they needed those shoes, right? And God said, daily, I provided for you. Daily, I took care of those clothes that you were wearing and those shoes that you had on your feet. I was with you all the time. I did that miraculous thing. In the same way I provided you food, I provided you clothing daily. I looked after you. I watched after you 40 years of doing that so that when we get to this place, which you're going to love, where I'm leading you, that you will remember me and you will come to me daily and trust me for your provision. God teaches his people that in the desert, in the trials, in the seasons of dryness, they should not forget him. And quite frankly, I think in these times is when we oftentimes seek him, right? It is in the dryness. It is in the brokenness. It's in the 40 years in the desert. It's in the desert seasons of our life where we actually maybe do even a little bit better job of seeking him daily. When there's something that we want or something that we need, those are times that we come to the Lord. And we do it for a week. I'll come to him every day for a week over this thing that's burdening my heart or for my kids or something they're going through. I just, those are the times. And maybe you have had that in your life where you remember back to that season where you were like, oh, those were some sweet times of the Lord. Man, life was difficult, but that stretch, that season, oh, that was a good season because I remember the Lord just speaking to me clearly and directly and pointing me where I should go and how I should feel. And I remember one night where I was fearful and worried and God came to me and he gave me peace. Those desert seasons are often those times where we look to him daily, like we should. They're times of stretching and our growing and him stretching and our growing. And we look and we say, Lord, where else do we go? Where else can I turn but to you? It's oftentimes in those desert times that we experience him like we should all the time. Now, I want you to see what God says to the people. He says, look, I want to give you a vision for where we're going, where I'm taking you. I want you to be prepared for what I'm about ready to bestow upon you. And earlier on in the text, he's going to say, it's not from anything that you ever did. It's not from your own righteousness that you get this. It's because of the detestable nature of the people who are in the land and because of my promise and my faithfulness to your ancestors that I'm giving you this land. Now imagine for a moment before we read this text, imagine if you had been in the desert for 40 years and that's kind of really all you knew. So maybe a little bit of slavery, but a lot of desert in your life and dryness and really living day to day for God to provide for you. Think about like if you've been on a really long camping trip, right? And you've stayed in a tent for a week. Not that I would ever do that, but say somebody would actually do that, right? And you go hiking and you're dirty and you just want to shower and you just really just want to go home and live in your own bed, right? You've been laid out of cans and whatever else you brought to eat, but it's meager and you don't want to eat too much. And you've been roughing it. We call it roughing it, right? You've been roughing it. They've been roughing it for 40 years. Now, I want you to hear what God says I have for you. Look what he says in verse 7. Listen to this. He says this, "For the Lord your God," this is again Moses talking to Israel, "for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and the hills." Plentiful, right? Oh, I just want to shower. I just want to get into one of those springs, right? I want to swim around. "A land," verse 8, "a land with wheat, barley, vines, and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where the bread will not be scarce, and you," listen, "will lack nothing." They would be saying, oh yeah, take me to that land. Amen, brother, right? Take me there. I want to go. Let's go right now. 40 years of roughing it, and now you're going to give us this? "A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." God has a good plan to give them rest. And I would say the same thing for us. God has a good plan to give us rest. I can just tell you, there are seasons of desert, of dryness, of roughing it. But there are also seasons that God hasn't planned for us that is a season of rest. That God desires to bring us to that place of rest. And I may submit to you tonight that maybe some of us haven't experienced that rest because we haven't spent time with him. We haven't sought after him. We'll still be learning in the desert. And from season to season, from time to time, God does call us, even the most faithful follower of Christ, to rough it in the desert, to learn, to have our hearts tested. It happens to all of us from time to time. But maybe some of us tonight just have never sought after him. We're still in the desert roughing it, trying to learn the principles that God would teach us in those difficult times. And maybe tonight he would say, hey, I know you're roughing it. Tonight I want you to come seek my face. I want you to spend daily time with me. In the same way they had to trust and rely on manna to feed them, for God to provide them daily, in the same way that he said, listen, I'll take care of your clothes and your shoes daily for 40 years. In the same way, I need you to come and trust in me daily. And I want to lead you to this place. I want to lead you to this land, this promised land, this place of shalom, of peace and rest in your life. That even maybe sometimes when there's difficulties around you, you will be able to see me and I will give you peace and rest and blessing. However, the desert, ironically enough, the desert, it's a kind of a crazy thing because we all can acknowledge that, because I saw your heads moving up and down when I said sometimes in the rough times is when we're closest to the Lord because we seek his face daily. And some of you were, yes, Jeff, that's right. Ironically, the warning that he's going to give his people is not about the desert time. It's going to be about the good times. Listen to what he says here, that the warning is not about the desert because they're now walking through the desert. They've learned a lesson. And now listen to what he says in verse 11. "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day." Listen to what he says. "Otherwise, when you enter that land, when you're in the promised land. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will what? Forget the Lord your God. In the desert, I was with you, and you knew I was with you, because I provided for you daily, and you turned to me daily for your provisions. But when things get good, warning, be careful. Look at what he says as 14 continues on. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Listen, it's a list of things that God had done for them so they would not forget. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known. Why? To humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. In the end, you might follow him. In the end, you might trust him. In the end, you might seek him. Even when you enter into that beautiful land where those streams are and you've built your nice houses and things are going well with you. Israel, ironically, didn't have their greatest challenge in the desert. Israel had their greatest challenge when they entered into that land, that life, that place they had always wanted to be. And they got there, and they were there. And you will read throughout the Old Testament the struggles of forgetting about God, of chasing other gods, of running after not good practices. Israel had their hardest time in the land. Seasons of correction, seasons of dryness, seasons of challenge are oftentimes that we're closest. We need to be careful of those times where we get the job that we wanted, where we find that home that God had placed us in and we love it, it becomes our home. When we were single for so long and we get married and we're now in our marriage and we stop seeking him because we got what we wanted. When we have enough in the bank until we feel like, well, we're okay. We can survive. We can get by. Or maybe there's a little extra blessing in our bank account. When we become satisfied, when we feel like we've arrived, that's the time the Lord says, be careful. Don't forget how you got here. Don't forget what you learned in the desert place. Don't forget what I was teaching you as you were walking through those dry and difficult times when you didn't have enough, when you weren't satisfied. When there were things that were all around you, challenge you, don't forget what I taught you, which was, come to me daily. Learn from me daily. Be quiet. Be sensitive to the leading of my spirit in your life. He brought them through a season of difficulty so that they would rely on him when things got good. Look at what he says in verse 17. You may say to yourself, self, Israel, you may say to yourself, Jeff, my power, this is now me speaking to me, Israel speaking to Israel. He's saying, my power, you may say to yourself, your power and strength of your hand, of my hand, have produced this wealth for me, thinking high of yourself. I've done all this work. I've worked really hard. You're gifted at this. You're gifted at that. I've earned this. But remember, in verse 18, but remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. How prideful, how arrogant, how boastful that we would ever think that somehow we achieved this, we've done this, I've got my job, I worked for it, I've got the abilities. Why? What's happening in there? Slowly but surely forgetting about God. Slowly but surely forgetting about the one who got you, who gave you those abilities, how you got that job that you prayed for, that you wanted, how you found that woman or that man to marry because God provided. How God blessed you with whatever it is, fill in the blank. He's saying, be careful that you do not forget when you enter into that promised land, that thing that you wanted, that thing that your heart's desired, and I'm blessing you with. But listen, the hard times are coming because you will forget about me. We are all susceptible to it. And so therefore, I would just say my principle tonight, my principle as we look at this, is in the desert, God taught us something, to seek after him daily. In those difficult times, in those dry times, God said, seek after me daily. And so the question then for you is, are you seeking after him daily? The question for all of us is, do we have that quiet time set aside for him? To seek after his face, to sit quietly before him? Or am I too busy? Am I slave to my schedule? Am I consumed by my daily routine? I think these are things that we all need to be careful of, because what I see is the end result isn't just, well, I can get by. I can survive with a couple quiet times a week or a month. But what I see happening, the danger is that will I forget completely about my Lord? Will I forget about the things that he has for me in my life? Will I start to doubt him and his goodness because I haven't spent time with him? I haven't talked to him. I haven't interacted with him. I haven't listened to him. Will I start to doubt the very thing that I once loved so much? I think the question for us is, are we willing to move things around in our life to meet with him and to speak with him? Does our daily schedule reflect what a man or a woman of God's schedule should look like? Am I intentional about getting time? Because listen, we live in a culture that isn't, you're not going to wake up and just be led to the Lord by our culture, right? The things around us, maybe even your own families. You're not going to wake up and all of a sudden the culture is going to, you're going to turn on the radio and your radio station that you listen to is going to say, just, unless it's Air One or K-Wave, praise the Lord for them, right? Isn't just going to lead you to talk about the Lord. Hey, go and encourage someone at your work today to love Jesus, right? It's not going to happen. You're not going to turn on the TV and your culture is not going to come on with some praise and worship music where you can just be led into the love of the Lord, right? That you and I have to make a decision in the culture that we live in to love him, to honor him, to serve him, to walk with him, and to be quiet before him, because nobody else is doing that for us. And so the question then for each of us is, am I a man or a woman who's willing to cut out time in my schedule to be with him? Because it's not going to happen automatically. And I would just say, based on personal experience, it's going to take discipline to do it. It's going to take discipline to do it. It's not something that just comes easily or readily. And if it does for you, praise God. But if it doesn't, you're like me, right? It just takes work and effort to cut out that time to spend time with him. But at some point, we have to stop making excuses and do it and spend time with him. And let me just tell you, I would just say, if he wants to meet with us, those are the times he's going to do it. So we should look forward to those moments where we just sit with him and we listen and we take in and we bring our word, or we bring the Bible with us, and we open that Bible and we just read and we spend time with him. And I would just challenge you, and I would challenge me, let's see what God does in that. What if we were to do that? What if we were to actually stop saying, I need to get better at it, and we just cut out some time in our morning or in our evening, and we just spent time with the Lord? How different things would be. Maybe more peace in our life. Maybe more direction. More focus on the things of the Lord. Maybe God would just show up in ways that we'd never have seen him show up before. And instead of forgetting and doubting him, our faith would increase and we'd begin to walk more boldly for him. And so let me encourage you with that tonight. Section out that time. My wife sets a little reminder on her phone for various things to pray for it. And so maybe that's something for you tonight, where you just set a thing on your phone that says, you know, have you been with the Lord today? Have you spent time with him today? Pray for this, pray for that. And it just pops up sometimes at random times throughout the day. So maybe that's for you tonight. Set a timer, set a reminder for you. Get away with the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, quite frankly, I would love to say that I've figured this area of devotion and quiet time out after 40 years of life, but the reality is, and the truth is, I haven't, and I feel like I still need to grow immensely in this area, and I don't think that, I don't think guilt and shame is what you're shooting for tonight, just because I know your heart as a father who loves his kids, that I don't think any of us are supposed to walk out tonight with feeling guilty or shamed. But Lord, I do believe that you would call us to a deeper walk with you, a more focused, quiet time with you. And whatever that takes, whatever we need to change in our schedule to make that happen, I absolutely believe it's true that you would desire that, to seek that out with us, to spend time with us. And Lord, I do thank you for those seasons of all of our lives where we were in the desert and maybe some tonight, Lord, who just had that sweet time of seeking after you and desiring you and seeing you daily at work in those areas, whatever areas they were in our lives. And you answered them and you met us there. And Lord, I pray in those seasons where things are going well and maybe we're just comfortable or satisfied, Lord, that we would not forget about you. Lord, that tomorrow morning that you want to meet with us, tomorrow night you want to be with us, you want to speak into our lives. Lord, I pray that if anyone in here has not had that devotional life, that tonight would be the start of it. Lord, that tonight would be the night they say, I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to seek after you in the morning. Lord, I'm going to desire seeing you in the morning. And so tonight, Lord, tomorrow morning, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and direct our paths, direct our hearts to you. Amen.
It was last Wednesday, I think, that we talked about those who come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. That song that the guys just led us in, you have to come to God with that awareness. He's great. He's greater than what you face. He's greater than that. What might even tonight still have a hold of you. And you got time. You got a few minutes to stick around and pray for one another. And if there's nobody near you that you came with that's willing to settle back down and pray with you, we got some folks up here that would love to pray with you and to just power through that stuff that is maybe holding you back. Jeff manages his time way better than I do when he preaches, so he just left you time to pray. This weekend in our services, I want to talk to you about when prayer becomes a battle and what spiritual warfare really is all about, and why sometimes it's hard to get there, it's hard to stay there, it's hard to push through until the final victory. It's a battle. And it just so happens that this is Memorial Day weekend. I didn't put that together that way in my head, but I think God did. So be vigilant, as the scripture says, and be ready. Be ready for the fight. But if you want to settle back down and pray for a while, and thank the guys for leading us tonight in worship. You know, we're going to give you time. Just spend some time praying for one another. And by the way, the prayer room over there is going to be open before service and during service for those that want to go back and be a part of, we've called it the Boiler Room Prayer Team. I got a better name, the Gate Crashers. Because the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And so it's going to be a gate crashing time to just press in and pray for those that Satan's trying to hold on to and evil stuff he wants to do. So grace and peace to you. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.